Today is Saturday, July 2nd, 2016, and this...
Bacchanal's massive 600-item selection blows the typical holiday buffet out of the water and is guaranteed to have every item on your holiday wish list and dim sum.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 558.
Las Vegas, Nevada!
I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas!
You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
So here's my concern.
Yeah?
Oh, hi, this is Tim.
This is Michelle.
What's going on? Here's my concern with the podcast this week.
What's your concern?
Well, we had that really nice Crane's Las Vegas business profile.
Uh-huh.
And I'm worried that there are going to be people who are listening for the first time that are going, oh, we need to... This is my Las Vegas executive management voice.
We should probably start monitoring that podcast. I'm told here from this Crane's article, it's very influential.
And I am so drunk right now. And I didn't realize it until just before we started recording. But you know, it's a holiday weekend. We've been enjoying the beautiful weather, sitting out on our deck, having many drinks, listening to some music, and we decided let's do the show,
let's record a show.
And I came in here and you set up, and I all of a sudden realized. I've had many drinks. So I apologize to anybody who's listening for the first time. This is a little typical, actually.
Why am I apologizing?
This is this
happens all the time.
All right.
And we usually sequester our dogs, and we decided not to. And
that might be a mistake,
That might be a concern.
So we're going to do a podcast here. And
is that what we're doing now?
We're continuing to have some beverages. It's a holiday weekend here in the United States of America.
I'd like to express my opposition to the opening clip.
Really?
There's a horrible pun in there.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty bad. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I don't run the opening clips past you. Would you like to be involved in
it's okay.
The pre-pro meeting?
The pre-pro? No, I'm good.
All right. So Zoe's going to wind the whole show, so let's just... pause this here and get them treats and deal with this now, and
then
we will continue our podcast.
Okay.
All right, and we're back. Puppy free now.
Well, not puppy free. They're just...
sequestered.
Entertained.
As normal. That experiment did not last long. All right, we've got a few Vegas news stories to get to. We've got some phone calls. It's our usual podcast fair, so to speak. Are you excited for the podcast?
Is it like a Renaissance fair?
No, nothing like that.
Okay.
I'm not wearing a... busty corset.
Okay.
Is that what those things are called?
Corset.
Corset. All right.
I just have the worst mental image right now, and you need to start talking to erase that.
All right. Let's talk about... this is something you...
oh, my God.
This is something that you can provide some information on, because I don't understand this concept. Mm-hmm. There's a new establishment in the Miracle Mile Shops at Planet Hollywood called Dry Bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's apparently a chain. There are more than 60 of these locations, but this one is a little different than the others because in Vegas, you've got to do something a little different. This is the first one with an actual bar.
Ooh, hey.
So what Dry Bar is, in general, in other locations, and this one as well, is a place for ladies like yourself to go. And I don't understand this concept. You go and have your hair blow dried?
It's called a blowout. It's not anything to do with other things that start with blow.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
But it's, you get your hair professionally styled.
Okay. So you don't get your hair cut there.
No.
You don't get it colored there.
No.
You just get it, they blow dry it and like brush it for you? Curl it a little bit?
Okay. You probably, oh God.
No, I don't know. I don't understand. This is foreign to me.
You don't have as much hair as I do.
That's true. And less every day.
Okay, so there's this part in the back that I'm really lazy with, and I just say, I'll just partially dry it, where if you go to a salon and you get a blowout, they pay full attention to all your follicles and all of your strands of hair and dry them equally and brush them and dry them, and it looks way better than what I would do myself.
Okay. So now...
half the time, I don't even blow dry my hair. I just let it air dry because I'm lazy.
My question, and I know that there are... I'm familiar with the term blowout, but I don't... this is my... I didn't ever explore what it meant. My question there is...
did you...
no.
Throw it in the Googler?
No. Okay. No, I don't need to know that much. But since we're talking about it, because there's an establishment in Las Vegas, well, there are many, but there's this one that's on the Las Vegas Strip, which mm-hmm. is our area.
I was thinking, they have them here in Minnesota.
Yeah, they have them everywhere.
It's like,
here's
past
my question.
It's prime because it's already in the Midwest.
So do you like have to walk in with wet hair?
No.
So they wash your hair for you?
This I do not know.
They
I don't
spray
know if
it
they
down?
Wash it. I don't know what the particulars are.
Have you gone to one of these places?
No. Do you want me to do what? You want me to go in the for
if you,
science?
If you want to, you can.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast, the pod 500 Productions will pay for it if you decide to go.
Okay.
It's $49 and up. Specialty drinks are $16.
They're special. Ooh, that seems a little expensive.
Yeah, well, what do you expect? They have a lot of, they're promoting to like bachelorette parties and stuff like
oh,
that too.
Oh, of course they are.
But their specialty drink menu is really not that special. It's like Manhattan's and Cosmos and...
yeah, if I'm going to pay $16 for a drink, I want some muddling, and I want some...
it might
like,
be. It's probably good.
Yeah.
So this is located right next to Sephora, one of your favorite places at the Miracle Model Shops.
Oh my God, it's one of my houses of worship.
I know. So if you want to go there...
Sephora, love them.
It's going on the corporate card. It's your call.
Okay.
It's an option. I'll just
I would do
throw it.
It
out there.
Yeah, I don't... like I said, I know that they have them. I know some... particulars, but I don't know everything. Like, I don't know if they wash your hair and then dry it or what they do. I would think so.
Yeah, I would think so.
I would think they'd, yeah.
Or at least dampen it.
Yes.
I didn't use that other word that I can't stand.
Thank you.
So that's what's happening at the Miracle Mile Shops. If anybody goes to Dry Bar and wants to give us a review, you're welcome to call our voicemail line and let us know what you think of the new establishment.
Because sometimes you want to, I think this is a good fit.
Could a dude walk in there? I picture like a dude like Siegfried going there. Because he's got like the big poofy. When I think blowout, I think like Sigourney Weaver in Weird Science.
Fabio. Is Fabio still a thing?
It wasn't Sigourney Weaver in Weird Science. Sigourney Weaver in Ghostbusters and or Kelly LeBrock in Weird Science.
Yes.
I'm glad I was able to correct myself.
I'm glad you were too. Have you had some drinks?
Just a few. What about Fabio? Yeah, it's that look.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would think that would be a big poofy look, but not necessarily, I guess, right? If you're going there. Like, you're not going to come out of there looking like you're from 1987, are you?
Unless you want them to.
Okay. Well, let's see what you have.
Well, 1987 is considered retro now, so who the fuck knows?
All right. So that's happening.
I'm old.
Moving along. Next door to Planet Hollywood is a place called Bally's.
Uh-huh.
Well, two hotels down.
Paris is right next door.
I know. And we're coming back to Planet Hollywood right after this. But anyway, there's I didn't think through the order of these things very well.
That's a very bad segue.
There's a restaurant called Wahlburgers that just opened finally.
Hooray.
On again, off again, on again, off again. It is open now. So this is I know you're making the wanky
hand gesture,
but the thing
which
is
no
here,
one can see because it's not a video podcast.
This is huge news because until this point, you've not been able to find a place to get a hamburger on the Las Vegas Strip.
Oh, I know. Hamburgers are... oh. I was going to say hamburgers are rare, but that would be a really bad pun.
It's been so difficult. But Wahlburgers is open at the Bazaar Shops at Bally's. It's more of the fast foodie burger. So I would say probably comparable. I don't know. I've never had another chain. I haven't had it. It's probably, in terms of places that have opened recently, similar to Shake Shack maybe, in terms of the... experience, but I don't know about the quality. Somebody left a review earlier today on our Facebook group, if you're interested in that. It sounded like they had a couple burgers, a couple fries, and a couple drinks. It was like $40, which
for a
fast food burger. Now, that's comparable in price to if you're going to like Gordon Ramsay burger, like a burger.
Yeah.
Or
I'll pay that for Gordon Ramsay burger.
But for a fast food place?
No.
A little high.
Yes.
So you're paying for the name, and I don't know. Is anybody that I guess some people are excited to have a burger because they have a reality show?
It's not like they're filming in there.
I know. All right. Well, please leave your reviews. Let us know what you think of it. It is now open after much ado.
And you love the Bally's Grand Bazaar shop so much that you're going to go there?
It's a wonderful, wonderful place. Now, if only they would open that pizza place so we can find a place to get pizza on the Strip.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Planet Hollywood. There's a show that was there very, very briefly. We talked about this when it was announced to be opening there. Frankie Moreno, he played at Stratosphere for several years in a smaller room and got really good reviews and, by all reports, a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to Planet Hollywood, and I think when we discussed this, we were kind of wondering how they would make a show like this work in a larger room, since he's not really a super well-known person, and both the theaters at Planet Hollywood are really big. And apparently it didn't work out because it only lasted like 5 weeks.
Oh.
So, again, it got decent reviews. People liked the show, but
it just wasn't selling.
I think it was just too big of a space for a guy like that mm-hmm. and for a show like that. So, I don't know. That's one of the things with Planet Hollywood. They've had they have these big blockbuster acts like Britney Spears and Lionel Richie and Pitbull and Jennifer Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to sell a shitload of tickets. And then they had Peep Show, which did all right.
Mm-hmm.
It did well for a long time. But even when we saw it, I know when other people saw it, the room was like
two-thirds full.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think the size of their rooms is a problem for, unless you're going to go with just these huge headliners that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fill the room when you're going to have somebody like Frankie Moreno, who might be a super talented guy, but the name recognition isn't enough to fill the room? That gets to be pretty expensive,
yeah.
And it just doesn't work. So I don't know.
Like, do you do a theater setup and curtain off part of it?
That's
like how some arenas do a theater show.
Depending on the room, sometimes that works, but sometimes it's just awkward because then it's clearly.
Yeah, like, oh, look, we can't sell enough tickets. Here's a curtain.
Yeah, that seems strange too. So it's unfortunate when somebody who clearly can put on a good show can't keep that thing going, but
mm-hmm.
I suspect he'll pop up in a smaller room again and do just fine. It's just this was not the right venue for him.
Mm-hmm.
So that closed a few days ago. There's a longtime Las Vegas performer that hasn't had a regular show on or near the Strip in a while that is coming back, and his name is Trent Carlini. He is a longtime Elvis impersonator in Las Vegas. I think he might have been Las Vegas Hilton for a while. His show was called Dream King. It's called something different now. He is moving to Hooters.
No.
Why no?
This is a bad idea.
As we mentioned last week, there's no chance of us accidentally wandering into the Trent Carlini show
Mm-mm.
when it's at Hooters, because we're probably not going to be at Hooters. But for people who are looking for an Elvis impersonator, there aren't that many of them, really.
He has a really good reputation.
He does.
If you're looking for an Elvis impersonator, this is the guy.
It's weird to say there aren't that many of them, because obviously Las Vegas is known as the mecca for Elvis impersonators.
There aren't as many as there used to be.
No, not in terms of regular shows scheduled on the Strip and downtown. There are mm-hmm. a few. Obviously, there's Big Elvis, but his show is kind of spotty because it seems like he's got health issues and it takes long periods of time off. And I think there's one downtown.
But he's good if you can see him.
I think there's one at Four Queens. And anyway, now there's this one, which is close to the Strip at Hooters, right behind Tropicana. And Hooters is, we've been talking about Hooters a lot lately because suddenly they are.
You talk about Hooters a lot anyway.
I'm talking about the establishment Hooters, honey, which is different than the normal thing I'm talking about. Anyway, they've been boosting their entertainment options. Hmm. In recent weeks, we've talked about the insult comic Vinny Favorito, who has a show there. And then last week, we talked about country superstars moving there. So they have a regular rotation now of entertainment options at Hooters. The Trent Carlini Elvis show is going to be at 5 p.m. every night except for Tuesday. Tickets are $45 and up. You'll be able to find discounted tickets, no doubt, through the resellers. So don't pay full price. And if anybody sees this, and or if you've seen Trent Carlini before and it was an amazing show or something and you want to let us know, please
do
call in with a review. We always love to hear opinions from our listeners. All right, so that is entertainment news for the week. Okay, I want to talk about this next story. Well, I want to talk about all these, otherwise they wouldn't be part of the podcast. But I want to talk about this, whether or not this is a thing or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it remains to be seen. But I love to gamble. Are you a fan of gambling?
Yes.
One of the things you can gamble on in Las Vegas and other places, but, you know, in the Las Vegas sports books, is horse racing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. You can bet on it in any sports book. They dedicate a large portion of their sports book just to horse racing.
Yep. You look at the video screens, there's some ponies.
Yeah, almost all the time. They simulcast races from all over the country, and you have a chance to bet on them. People are into it. It's fun, you know, watching actual horses run around an actual track, competing against each other.
Except when it's the Triple Crown, when you're just fucking tired of the hype.
We had that last year, so it was fine. The Triple Crown thing happened.
But you were happy when a different horse won the Preakness, so you didn't have to hear about the...
Yeah, it bothers me every year when the same horse wins the first two races and all we hear about is the Triple Crown. I was thrilled last year that somebody actually won it.
Yes, it was great.
Here's the thing that pissed me off, though. This year, different horses won the first two races.
Mm-hmm.
And then before the third race, I heard some dick on TV refer to, well, he has a chance at the Double Crown.
That's not a thing.
That's not a thing. And he apparently, according to what I just did, has the same voice as a high-paid casino executive. Anyway, so horse racing. Lots of fun to bet on.
Yes.
Great option in the sports book.
Yep.
There's a new option for horse race betting from William Hill, which runs a lot of sports books in Las Vegas. Downtown, off strip.
Everywhere.
Casino Royale on the strip, a few other options. They announced a new gambling option at least to start at two of their outlets. The first one at Plaza, the second one at Silver Sevens. And it's virtual horse racing. So you can bet on fake animated races every 5 minutes.
No.
They're simulated races. Now, it's funny that we, like, instantly you said no, because that was my response too. And then I thought, well, isn't this kind of like Sigma Derby? Like, you're betting on, they're not real horses. You're betting on fake odds that are posted just arbitrarily.
But we were talking about this earlier, and there's a novelty factor to Sigma Derby.
Yeah, I think that's what the difference is here.
Because we've tried, remember that Greyhound thing we played at Bellagio?
Where it was kind of like Sigma Derby, but it was video screens?
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
And it was fun for about 10 minutes, but...
I'd say about 6.5 minutes. You had a fun 3.5 minutes longer than I did,
apparently. I guess I did.
I don't even know that we played it for 10 minutes.
Yeah. It wasn't that engaging. There was something...
No.
Yeah. I either want to bet on real horses or some plastic ponies that are racing around a plastic track.
Yeah, I think the thing about Sigma Derby, and there's a newer version that it hasn't really shown up in Las Vegas yet, but it's starting to show up in other gambling destinations, is there's another kind of Sigma Derby type game that's newer. I think it's called like Royal Ascot was the old one. I don't remember what it's called, but it was at the G2E conference. We talked about it then. Very similar, but newer, and thus will probably show up in every casino at some point in the next 2 years. There's a novelty to watching the little plastic horses.
And the sounds, and yeah.
I don't know that you get the same.
And playing quarters.
Well, there's that too. It's super cheap.
Yeah.
So you sit there, you don't have to have any knowledge of anything.
You just pop a couple quarters in, hit some buttons, root for the ponies.
So you've got, let's take the exact same concept from Sigma Derby, but make it an animated thing without the little plastic horses, which are kitschy and fun. I don't know. Maybe some people like this. I just don't know that I can see it catching on. The serious horse racers, I can't see horse race bettors, I can't see them migrating to this.
No.
And the people who are into Sigma Derby, you know, you're going to play it for half hour, 45 minutes maybe when you're in Las Vegas and then move on.
If that.
I don't know who this is supposed to attract. I don't know that. I'm not sure. Maybe it will be wildly popular, but I'm
skeptical. You're skeptical too.
A little bit skeptical. I've put a lot of thought into this. Like, why would I do this?
Why would I play this? Yeah.
Their big selling point is that they've hired some guy who's like a apparently well-known professional caller of horse races.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be doing the audio on them. But so that makes it maybe a little more realistic, like a horse race. But I don't know that that's going to be enough.
But why wouldn't I bet on a real horse race then?
Right. There's so many opportunities for that. I don't know if they're just going to have this going at night, like late at night when there's not actual horse races. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work. So I'm curious next time we're in Vegas to stop by Plaza, see it in action, and maybe there's something I'm missing here.
Because I know how you love stopping by Plaza.
Yeah, I want to see their pool too. So actually, ooh, yes, yeah. I will be stopping by Plaza. But
I just backtracked. Like
everything I say that I'm not going to do in Las Vegas, I end up doing it. We've already discussed that.
Mm-hmm.
So, But this one, I'm curious to see it in action. It's
available. So we're going to see Celine sometime, is what you're saying.
I don't know. We'll see. Let's talk about some things happening downtown.
I do have a girl date for that, though. If we're ever in the town at the same time when Celine's there. So I'm covered.
Periscoper didn't happen. The Beat is a coffee shop downtown Las Vegas, Fremont East, right across from El Cortez. They announced yesterday, the operators of that establishment announced yesterday, it is closing after more than 6 years.
Wow.
I know, this is kind of surprising because it's been one of those parts of Fremont East that's been there very early in the development, the redevelopment of that area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a cool little coffee shop. They sell records there as well.
We had food there once. It was delicious.
The food was good.
Not so delicious that we went back, but it was good.
Yeah, it seems like
I don't feel like it was a waste of my time to go there.
No, and it seems like they're busy often. They have a lot of people like hanging out there and working, you know, using their Wi-Fi, which it, for it coffee like shop.
This is going to sound super hippie and corporate, but, well, I don't know if one or the other, but it sounded like a really good community gathering space.
Right. I think it was a good fit for the downtown expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no signs that it has been doing poorly by any means.
Yeah. It was always busy when we walked by.
Right. The reason that it's closing is because El Cortez across the street owns that building, and they've decided to do something different with it. So the first floor of that building is going to be a restaurant. And some of the other things that they have in there, the emergency arts thing where they have different little arts outlets, those are going to all be on the second floor. So they're still going to be there. It's just going to be a little bit smaller.
And harder to get to.
Probably. I think we wandered through that second floor one time and nothing was open.
Yeah.
The last few times we've been in Las Vegas, you know, on the outside of that building, they have the little signs for all the different things, which change often. It seems like there hasn't been necessarily as much stuff there as there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's intentional or if that's just happened, and I don't know. So anyway, they're going to be moving some of the things to the second floor, and they're going to be using the first floor for a new restaurant. A couple of reports are saying it's going to be a chain, a relatively small chain called Eureka. And I looked at the menu. They have a bunch of different things, burgers, tacos, salad. The food looked pretty good. I would imagine El Cortez just decided, look, we want to have more food options, and this is one way to do it, right across the street. So that's going to be happening later this year. I'm not exactly sure what the closing date for the Beat is, but I think it's fairly soon. So I think a lot of people will miss this. Not necessarily tourists, but I think as part of the local scene downtown, people who work down there, I think that was a nice coffee shop option that they will miss. So that's operated by the same people who run Downtown Cocktail Room as well. They expanded rapidly and then have since reduced rapidly.
Yeah.
They did say that they intend, and of course we've mentioned this before that it rarely happens, but they did say at some point the Beat will show up again. So I would imagine at some point maybe they will open another coffee shop, but
I wonder if it would move farther east down Fremont.
I don't know. I do not know. Well, they did have a mini version of the Beat at the Downtown Container Park for a while, and then they pulled out of there because they operated several establishments there, and then they pulled out of that. They operated the Inspire Theater. They quit operating that. So now they're pretty much down, I think, to Downtown Cocktail Room again.
Please let that live forever.
I know. Love that place. So there you go. If you are a fan of the Beat, you have a very limited amount of time to enjoy that place one more time. Finally, let's talk about Downtown Grand. We haven't talked about that place in a while. They've had a lot of different things going on.
They have a free concert soon.
They've been trying to step up their entertainment options. I think the last time we talked about them was when they announced that Zoe Bowie would be performing on a regular basis up on the pool deck. But yeah, who were you saying it was?
Squirrel Nut Zippers.
That'll probably bring it. Is that out on the street?
I have no idea.
I think they're closing down the street for that one. But anyway, that's not the main thing. They announced a couple days ago that they're going to be enhancing their comped beer options for gamblers.
Ooh, tell me more, please.
I know. This is kind of a good thing, I think. They're going to be offering throughout the casino floor, not just the bar, 16-ounce tap beers for gamblers.
Ooh.
Comped from, they have two options from a local brewer called Joseph James. One is the Hop Box Imperial IPA. The other one is called I'm Out Imperial Stout.
Yes.
you're not down with the IPAs?
I'm over IPAs.
Okay.
There are a lot of people who like them. Good for you. You can have mine.
More for you. They're also going to offer several other craft beer options, and I know that the people who are super into craft beers will jump in and say that these are point out that these are owned by I think InBev, mm-hmm. one of the large brewers, but they're still
tasty.
They're still smaller beers than, you know, your Bud Lights and all that.
Wait,
shit.
Wait, you mean America Light?
I'm sorry, America Light. Yes. So they're going to be offering Shock Tops Belgian White, which mm-hmm. is fairly easy to find these days. But I like that beer.
I do too.
It's dependable. It's a long drinking beer. You can pound those all day long. That's kind of like it's kind of like another version of Blue Moon, isn't it?
Yeah.
They'll throw an orange in your Belgian White if you order that.
Or Cointreau?
No, it wasn't Cointreau.
It was what was the stuff? Grand Marnier.
Grand Marnier. That's what,
yes.
Yeah, a shot of Grand Marnier in there would be delicious.
Mm-hmm. And potent.
They're also going to be offering Goose Island's 4-Star Pilsner.
Ooh.
Kona Brewing Company's Longboard Island Lager and Golden Road Brewing's Get Up Off of That Brown.
Hmm.
So
I haven't had the last two.
I have not either.
I'd be willing to try them.
Several new craft beer options, which is great because a lot of times you order a beer in a casino when you're gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe at the bar, you might have some craft beer options because they have those on tap. Usually when you're playing on the casino floor, you only have options for bottled beer, which is fine. But a lot of times it's going to be your standard Coors Light, Bud Light, maybe Heineken, Corona. It's not going to be a huge... Sometimes you can get a Newcastle or something. But as far as smaller brewery or smaller craft beers... not always as many options. I like that they're offering this.
Mm-hmm.
So, hooray for Downtown Grand for trying this. I think it will do very well for the 3 months in which they offer it before they shit can it, which they seem to do with everything new that they try at Downtown Grand.
Has the pool changed its name again?
No, it's still Citrus until next summer.
No, wait. Isn't it like Citrus at Downtown Grand Pool?
Citrus
or something?
At the pool deck at Downtown Grand. Yes, something like that. But it seems like with a lot of these things, like they did the thing for a while where you could exchange Canadian dollars for U.S. dollars at cost without a fee or something. They've had a bunch of different things. And obviously there was a different CEO running things at the time. They've tried a bunch of things and they don't last very long. So
take advantage of this shit while you can, people.
Yeah, I was happy to hear this, but I'm not super confident it will last a long time. So if you're a fan of craft beer and you like to gamble, Downtown Grand might be a good option for you for a while until it changes. All righty. We hope it lasts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see different things. I like when they have different beer options too. Like that's one of the things that comes up a lot on our Facebook group. People are like, you know what? I like a variety of beer options. Where should I gamble? And a lot of times you get the same suggestions. It's going to be go to Main Street Station and sit at the bar because mm-hmm. you get their craft beers, which are great. Or go, I think you can probably get those on the floor there too.
Golden Nugget has a beer bar.
Yeah, that's not as I don't know if that's super awesome, but
yeah.
But you can get the beers that they have at Four Queens and Binion's
uh-huh.
are from Chicago Brewing Company.
Ooh.
They have the same kind of things there. So that's an option. I'm talking downtown.
Yeah.
Obviously, you go to Ellis Island, you get their beers. There are options mm-hmm. for these things. But a lot of the casinos that don't have their own breweries, maybe not as much. And there's not that many of those. So anyway, this is a nice option. I'm happy to see this, especially the fact they have a couple local options, which is great.
Yes.
Supporting local breweries. I'd love to see Banger
yes.
Brewery show up in a bunch of casinos. Maybe they'll expand to that. You know, they're showing up in a few other restaurants, but it'd be great to see them on the taps at some of the casinos too. Okay. Let's move along and talk about our friends at
Viator. Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We love our friends at Viator. And every week we talk about some of the great things they do to make your vacations better. Tours and attractions and all kinds of adventures. Every once in a while, however, we get a call from one of our listeners and we let them do the work for us. So that is the case this week. Take it away.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Travis from Kansas City. Sometimes we get my wife and I to take a trip as a couple, and we usually go to Vegas. But sometimes you have to go with the entire family. So this year we went to Washington, D.C., and we used Viator there. for a couple of different things, but the best thing was for a night tour of the monuments, and it was a great tour. It lasted forever. Every time I thought, well, this is probably the last place we're going to see, they showed us another place and drove us there and guided tour, told us some facts about us, about the site, let us wander around and take pictures. A really neat tour, worked very well. We also used them for shuttle service, both in D.C. and a trip we took not too long ago to Chicago. Flawless process, never had any problems with booking or when we arrived. Viator worked very well. The only thing I forgot to do was I forgot to use your link so that you all could get credit. So I apologize for that. But just wanted to give you a plug for Viator. The Washington, D.C. Night Monument Tour that they have is really cool. So thank you very much for the tip on that. And have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Travis. Thanks. We appreciate that testimonial. Next time you are booking a vacation, whether it's to Las Vegas or any other destination in the United States or worldwide, and you want to make your vacation great, check Viator.com. They have all kinds of tours, attractions, shows, adventures, all kinds of things to make your vacation awesome. You can also download their iOS and Android apps. And as always, thank you to Viator for being a longtime supporter and sponsor of 500 by Midnight. Oh, yeah. If you're going to book, click through the link at 500bymidnight.com, as Travis forgot to do. That's okay. I'm just happy you're supporting our sponsor. That's a big deal. And if you book that, we get a little bit of extra dough, and it makes us very happy. So thanks, guys. Okay, before we move on to phone calls, we have the last couple of weeks, we have not done a Facebook group post of the week, and it did not go unnoticed. Someone mentioned on the Facebook group that they love the Facebook group post of the week, and they were disappointed there wasn't one.
Uh-oh.
So it's back this week. This week's Facebook group post of the week is Kevin's picture of two old Barbary Coast slot cards.
Ooh.
One of them had the little computer hole punches in it. It was one of those. And I
have one of those from Stardust, I think.
Yeah, I think we've got a couple of those. I think New Frontier might have had that for a while, too, when we were in our early days of Las Vegas. They had not yet converted to an actual magnetic strip. So anyway, he came across those and posted the picture, and it's funny because those things kind of resonate with people, like, oh yeah, I've got a bunch of old slot cards from different places, and people have been chiming in with things. So anyway, I chose that as this week's Facebook group post of the week, and also for having that be the Facebook group post of the week, Kevin earned the Retro Vegas Photo badge on Untappd. It's that Kevin. If you follow me on Twitter, and if you follow Got Kevin on Twitter, is that still his name on Twitter, Got Kevin?
I believe so.
Kevin,
I think so.
He's an Untappd user, which drives me batty. Anybody I follow on Twitter, they're constantly automatic postings of every beer they've ever consumed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, nobody cares. But anyway, whenever Kevin posts, I like to give him shit and ask him if it was tasty and also congratulate him on the badges that he won. So there's a link in the show notes to the Facebook group post of the week. And thank you, Kevin, for that post and for putting up with my bullshit on Twitter.
He still follow Fridays you occasionally, doesn't
he? Every once in a while. Yeah, he's a good dude. He was a Vimp last year.
He's awesome.
All right. Let's move on to some phone calls, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. And then I'm going to have some drinks during this. I've been talking for like many minutes without having any of my drink.
Okay.
So we're going to do that during these calls. Here's David.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. My name's David from Fort Worth, Texas. Just found your show a few months ago.
Welcome.
Listened to all the 2016 episodes so far, and now I've gone back to episode one.
Uh-oh.
And I believe I'm up to the end of 2006.
I'm sorry.
So good luck.
It's pretty fun listening to the old stuff that y'all talked about, what casino may be sold, what restaurants, bars close and open. It's pretty fun. Funniest thing so far I've heard is definitely the asking a hooker where Countryland USA is. That was funny. Just got back from a trip the week of June 20th. I was at the chip show. I'm a chip collector. We were meeting at South Point. Had a fantastic time. Stayed at the D, though. I don't stay at South Point. I posted a pic on your Facebook page. And to the guy that posted, no, it's not a condom collection. That's all right. We don't think you're a pervert. I wanted to say one thing. Keno is not bad. Keno is boring. I don't know why anyone. I don't know why casinos have that game still, but just not to my liking. talking about games people have made up, my favorite, but you can only play it once a year, is EDM, poor or homeless, trying to guess what someone or what group someone belongs to. So it's definitely tough for some of the outfits out there. Visited Nacho Daddy. That was great. Strip slot machines suck ass. It was terrible gaming. We really wanted to see the new Frogger machine at Cosmo, and we put in $80 and didn't get to play the mini game once. So,
ooh, boom.
It was overall a bad experience. Got a trip trying to get out there the week before Vimp. I guess I'm not going to make it, but we're going to see Nick Swartzen at the Mirage.
Ooh, nice. Yes.
Can't wait for that. The wife's excited. And I think, thank you for the podcast. It's been great. And I know it's a Vegas podcast, but hey, I was in Minnesota for March. And just shout out to the Nook. That was a fantastic place to eat. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Have you been to the Nook?
Oh, yeah.
I have not been to the Nook.
Oh, we're going to have to resolve that.
All right.
Now, when I was at the Nook, it was called Mickey's Nook.
Right.
Years ago. Well, I might have been. It's been around forever. The current owners are Casper and Runyon.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've stepped it up a notch, because when I was there a few times, it was just a neighborhood old man bar.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can get a good, they're known for their great burgers.
Yeah.
And yes, so I have been there and I'm very familiar with that place. There's a bowling alley in the basement too. If you're not able to make it to Vimp and you're going a week earlier to see Nick Swartzen, that's completely acceptable, because you're still going to Vegas and seeing a Minnesotan.
And Nick Swartzen's great.
He's great. We've seen him. He's a couple times, I think. He's hilarious. And also, much like me, St. Paul boy. So.
6'5",
yeah, it is now. When I grew up, it was still 6'1",
all right.
So. Anyway, that's awesome. Thank you for the call. Glad you like the show. And I have mixed feelings about anybody going back and listening to the super old shows.
Yep, me too.
But I guess it's probably somewhat entertaining to listen to the evolution of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much ahead of you if you're only to 2006, because there's been so much drama since then of the show. There's when we divorced and then remarried and then when we had 3 kids and then sold them all on the black market. That happened. And it's all the subcontext of the Vegas podcast. You have that to look forward to on the show. So thank you for calling. We're always happy to have new listeners chime in on the voicemail line. Next caller, this is not a new caller. He's a gentleman who has attended our Vegas Internet Mafia family picnic and has called before. He might look like a good cocktail on occasion, and he likes Las Vegas. So let's hear from him.
Hey, 500. It's Charles from Wisconsin. Walking down the Vegas Strip because I just got kicked off the Deuce bus because of a biohazard in the back row of the bus. So I'm walking past all the...
Wait, let's pause that. You understand what he's saying, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Deuce on the deuce.
Oh!
That's no good. That's no good at all. They had to clear out the bus because somebody dropped one on the deuce. Ugh.
That doesn't really... make you want to take any bus in Vegas anytime soon, does it?
We're going on how many years since we last boarded a bus in Las Vegas?
Was it 97? I believe it was the year of our marriage.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
So I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Nope.
But people use it as a viable option to get around. Sometimes you just encounter some challenges, including the occasional shitter on the bus. It happens. What are you going to do?
Research world stuff. And I've got a long walk because I'm staying in Delano. Yeah, I spent a little time at the closing of Mermaids, La Bayou, and Girls of Glitter Gulch. Basically, I just donated $20 to each of the two casinos, and I'm not going anywhere near the strip club because, yeah, I'm not going there. It was kind of fun, and I don't know. I wish I had something better to say, but it was a good trip, and I'm drunk, and I'm wandering down the Vegas Strip, which could be worse.
it's 100 degrees out and almost midnight. So actually, it's almost 1 o'clock. So, hey, whatever.
All right, we're going to hear more from him as he makes his way back to Delano from the north end of the strip.
Is he going to walk all the way?
We'll just have to wait and see now, won't we?
Wow.
That's what we call a cliffhanger here during the voicemail segment.
All right.
All right, next caller, please.
And Michelle, it's John and Uter from Western Pennsylvania.
Hey, guys.
Calling with a trip report from our recent trip to Vegas over Father's Day weekend / EDC. Wanted to call and report on three new places to eat that we tried. The first was Herringbone, which has been open for about 6 months over at Aria. We went in there on Sunday night. The one strange thing is we walked up and we asked about sitting in the lounge and were told that it would be a 15-minute wait. We could see into the lounge and there were maybe three tables. So the wait seemed odd and we asked, well, can we sit at the bar? The host is like, yes, sure, go right ahead, which is what we planned to do all along. What we'll say about Herringbone, good menu. It's seafood-driven, but they have a number of appetizers that aren't seafood-driven. They also have a very creative cocktail bar and cocktail menu. Sat at the bar, great bartender, had a couple of very good cocktails. We had good food as well. We got the chicken meatball appetizer, which is good, not Andiamo level good, but it was quite good. A huge Caesar salad that we both enjoyed. And then death by mashed potatoes, which was mashed potatoes with several different kinds of cheese. All in all, Herringbone, very good. Definitely a place we'll go back to again. We also went to Beauty in Essex that recently opened at Cosmopolitan. And we went twice. I went the first night I got there and had a cocktail. It was very crowded. And we went back one day at 5 o'clock, just as they opened, and had drinks and food to share at the bar. The food was good. We had the Caesar's toast, which was sort of a Caesar salad on toast points that was good. We had a short rib mac and cheese, which was okay at best. And then we...
Yes?
Would the toast points with the Caesar salad be considered artisanal toast?
Probably. Hopefully they didn't call it that.
I like Caesar salad and I like toast.
I know. I'm a fan of both those and I'm sure it's delicious. I just, the word artisanal could be removed from every menu in the world.
He didn't say artisanal. I did.
He did not. But you're probably right. Sounds about right. It's probably farm to table Caesar.
He had what had to be the highlight dish of the trip. And this was the grilled cheese smoked bacon tomato soup. Now, that name doesn't give you a lot of indication of what it's like. These were served in the sort of handled spoons you often see at Chinese restaurants with tomato soup in the bottom and then sitting in the middle of the tomato soup, a little dumpling that had the grilled cheese and smoked bacon. And you got six of those with a dish. That was incredible. Absolutely delicious. The bartenders were not nearly as attentive. I attribute that to the fact that we walked in right at 5 o'clock, and it was clear that they were still setting the bar up. One interesting thing we observed, they came over and tested one of the bartenders while we were there. She had to a blind free pour. So they had a measurement device that had six test tubes in it. She had to pour with her right hand and left hand, and she could not see where the alcohol was going, and the manager would say, okay, I need a quarter ounce. And the next one he would say, I need a half ounce. And he continued on, and she had to do that with both hands. And so that was interesting to observe. The last place we wanted to call about is Egg Slot. And the one thing I will say, it was EDC weekend, so that may have contributed to the crowds that we experienced. We went about 7 o'clock on Saturday in the morning, had a 15-minute wait to order, and then had a 30-minute wait for our food, which was lukewarm at best when we got it. It's clear there they have some work to do on their systems for getting the food out. We noticed while we were waiting, at least one manager came out and pitched in to help prepare the food. And when we returned to that area later in the day, there were two managers in addition to all the other staff working there. I imagine we'll try Excellent again, but we won't try it again at a time when it's busy. We'll look for it at a time when we're hungry, but the restaurant does not appear to be busy. We've got some other thoughts about other topics, but we'll call back with those. Thanks very much.
All right. We will hear from him as well as his wife a little later. Thank you for the call.
Cool. Yeah.
Good restaurant reports. We've been wondering about a couple of those places. Mm-hmm. Actually, all those places.
I would like to try Herringbone.
I would like to try Herringbone as well. Beauty in Essex, I'm still a little iffy on.
Yeah.
Egg Slut, yes.
But not at a busy time.
Right. It's been consistent, what we've been hearing about that place as far as the waits.
Yeah.
Actually, 15 minutes has been on the low end.
Ooh.
Sounds like a lot of people have been waiting longer than that. So maybe once the newness wears off, or maybe they'll get their shit together and figure out a way to pump out the food faster. I don't know. But I wonder how much of the success of Egg Slut is based entirely on the name.
Mm-hmm.
The food looks lovely. You know, you get it looks good. You get an egg-based sandwich.
Mm-hmm. I don't want a lukewarm egg-based sandwich,
no,
though.
No, me neither. I want it to be hot and delicious, but I don't know. So we will continue, I'm sure, to get reviews on that place. And like I said, certainly the novelty of the name Egg Slut is a big selling point.
Mm-hmm.
People are kind of like weird about it. Some people were weird about it when it was announced. But it's an attention getter. It's good marketing.
Yeah.
And it fits in with Cosmopolitan, too. Just the amount, right amount of sluttiness. Isn't that what they're...
Sure. That's what their motto is.
Okay. All right. Next up.
Hey there, podcasting Tim and Michelle. This is Alonzo again.
Hello, Alonzo.
Hey. And a little follow-up on sour cream and the steakhouse at Circus Circus. After a good discussion with the bartender, waitress, about how I would like my baked potato, she brought out the little holder with the four little cups of butter, sour cream, chives, and bacon, so you could dress it up any way you wanted. So.
That's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you want.
You want your
this.
Sour cream separate from everything, except on potatoes. You agree with sour cream on potatoes.
I still like the idea of it on the side, so you can make your own combo and having bacon bits and chives and all.
Yep, yep. And I'm picky with bacon bits. If they're real bacon, yes. If they're fake bacon,
I'm guessing at a decent steakhouse, you're going to get real bacon.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
So I like baked potatoes that come that way. Then I did not realize that I was remiss in leaving a bathroom report on the last trip. So here you go.
Awesome.
All right.
We were up at the 8th floor of the parking garage, spending some quality time hanging out in the chairs and the hammock. And the urge came to, purge the poo pipe. And I took the elevator down into the casino.
Good to
and
know.
And visited the bathroom off of Wynn Boulevard by the main valet entrance to Encore, over by the registration desk and the east side pool. And yes, Encore bathrooms are a thing of wonder. Everything is laid out just the way it should be. As you walk in the door, it sinks first, then the urinals, then the toilets in the back. The toilets in the back, of course, are, I don't know, is that European style? They had a, shit, must have been like a 10-foot door to get into your toilet. Now, it is like walking into a marble enclosed port-a-john, because it's that little tiny room, just big enough for you and a toilet. But since it's all decked out in like cream-colored and beautiful marble, I mean, who can go wrong with that? The door, you know, with the knobs in the middle, because I guess that's European niceness, were really cool, is 10 feet tall. I couldn't even touch the top of the door. And then the wall...
I love the idea that he tried to touch the top of the door. I can see him on his tiptoes, reaching up just to see. Nope, too tall for Alonzo.
Well, the toilets are, goes up another 3 or 4 feet. So you're in this cathedral toilet chitting room, and it's just glorious. The only problem is it's all marble. So any noise that anybody else makes in the bathroom just kind of reverberates around for a little bit. So
it's like a cathedral of farts.
Oh, God.
Kind of like a little man symphony there for a couple of minutes. It was a little creepy. But the stinky was great. Because of the tall, tall ceilings and the way that they built the stalls for the toilets, the walls on either side of the toilet went down to only like, there was like a 2 or 3 inch gap at the bottom. So you kind of knew someone was next to you if you needed to, but you couldn't even see their shoes, which is the right kind of privacy. But it gives the air enough room to come in from the bottom and then straight up through this gigantic chimney of a toilet stall and exhausted somewhere out the top. So can't say that there was a breeze, but the air was definitely moving up and out, which took any funky flavors right along with it. So the smell of the Venetian bathrooms is also, although it is not pleasant, it is not unpleasant, and it is very tolerable. So got everything finished up there, and these were some of the few, you know, wave your hands in front of the sinks to go wash your hands. And the sink actually knew that I had my hands there and was requesting water, which, for, I don't know about you, but for me, it's a rarity to have the sink actually turn on and let you wash your hands.
I hate those things. I understand the reason, because you don't have to touch anything, which is great.
Yes.
But the fact that half the time they don't work is maddening. I feel like a fucking wizard waving my hands around trying to conjure up fucking H2O. So, good. I would expect that from Encore.
And very, very good experience. So as much as they can't figure out implosions, they do have the bathroom thing down pretty good. And there you go. There's a bathroom report. And if you want a bathroom report from Circus, I think they called in a couple years ago from there. Just don't even worry about it. It's white and boring and done all wrong. So don't even, if you got to use the bathrooms at Circus, yeah, fine. You got to do what you got to do, but get out as quick as you can.
Yes.
All right. There's two bathroom reports for you. It's a double bonus. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Alonzo. We can always count on you. Nobody comes through with the better, more thorough, more scientific analysis of Las Vegas bathrooms like our own reporter.
We were talking a little earlier about things we like and dislike in bathrooms.
We were.
We like to have a drink, a place to set your drink.
Yes. Yes. That's one of my... I love that about Las Vegas as opposed to a lot of other places. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of other places, it's not a factor. But in Las Vegas, where you're going to be carrying a drink around, it's lovely when you walk into the bathroom. And for us dudes by the urinals, place to set your drink. Either a little shelf or a little beverage holder. That's nice. I'm always puzzled when there are two of them. Like, how often does somebody walk in double-fisting it and needing two places to put a drink? I suppose somebody might have left a glass and then you still have a spot.
That could be.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of weighted doors where you don't have to bend down to see if someone's in the fucking stall, where you can, like, the door is weighted so that it opens and so if there's somebody in the stall, they've latched it and it's clear that there's someone in the stall.
You know what?
And if it's unoccupied, unoccupied.
I've got a logistical question here. Not that you're going to be able to answer it or anybody else.
Okay.
And this is beyond even casinos and hotels. And let's talk public bathrooms in general.
All right.
And the privacy issue.
Mm-hmm.
Why have they not implemented signage? The little thing so that when you latch the door, it says occupied?
Here's the problem with that.
People don't latch the doors?
People don't latch the doors. Well, I have experienced this in the Paris bathroom many times.
I know.
I think it's green. I push. Oh, somebody's in there. Shit. Well, fuck you not putting...
Wait. Stop. Clarify.
It's red and green.
They do have that
there?
Which is
bad for colorblind people, incidentally.
Wait a minute. They have that there?
Paris.
I've never seen that before.
In the ladies' room.
Really?
Yeah, you flip that shit over and it turns red and says, somebody's using this.
Okay, I stand corrected. That is a thing in some bathrooms.
Yeah, but some people don't use it and then you surprise them and then they get all pissy, so to speak, about
it.
Most people
are fucking
morons. You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, how do you miss that day of kindergarten? That's like the first thing you learn when you're out of the womb is latch
the goddamn door.
Yeah, it's not that complicated.
Well, I think the problem with the Paris bathrooms is that it's not just the latch. It's like you close the handle of the door.
It's some sort of puzzle Survivor. You have to decode something.
The handle to open the door is different from the latch. With a lot of other bathrooms, you've just got the latch.
And now this just brings us to the issue of why can't we make anything consistent in this fucking world of ours?
Oh, you mean the showers?
Everything. I want everything to work the same way regardless of where I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that complicated. People know how to open a door usually. You know, the handle works the same way everywhere. Why can't we do this with
when
locks?
When you close the door, it should automatically flip over. You shouldn't have to close the door and then do another. I mean, yeah, you do.
It shouldn't be that complicated to fucking lock the door. Some people are just dumb. All right. Thanks, Alonzo. Appreciate the bathroom reports.
Yes.
It's a never-ending battle. That's why I just make it.
Does have really nice bathrooms.
That's why I just make it. You don't have this advantage because ladies have a different situation going, but I just make it a policy whenever possible not to use the stalls in public. I just urinal, but, you know, different stuff for girls. Anyway,
we have
along.
No choice.
We don't have to explain this in detail. I think people understand.
Hey, 5 Lundy, Michael from New Jersey, checking in. I hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
Wanted to give you a quick trip report. I just came back from 5 days, 4 nights in Vegas. It was a great trip. Wonderful weather. You got to like it hot. It was 110 degrees, but the sun was shining. The pool was beautiful, and it was just beautiful out every day this past week here in June. We stayed at the Venetian, which is a nice property. Really had a great room, big room, with a wonderful pool access. The first night we went to Sinatra for dinner. It was actually Father's Day. Food was terrific. I really liked it. Definitely be aware of the pricing. It's not cheap by any means. My parents, who are used to going out to eat, thought it was very expensive, and they're older, so you know they were a little surprised, though, that even expecting it to be expensive, they...
I appreciate the clarification that your parents are older. It would be weird if they were younger.
Yes. Oh, my dad, speaking of parents.
Yes.
My dad, who freaked out over the $3 charge at Excalibur for potatoes at the wedding.
Yeah.
He would freak out so bad if he saw some of our restaurant bills.
Yeah, no doubt he would. He is thrifty.
He is thrifty.
They thought it was pretty up there. So, but I thought my dinner was delicious. Had a pork chop. Day two, we hit Grand Lux Cafe in the hotel for breakfast. Not bad. And then we actually did dinner at Rao's, which is always good. We saw a show, Million Dollar Quartet, over at Harrah's. It was actually very good. You know, they aren't the best impersonators, but the story of the contract for Johnny Cash and Elvis and Sun Records was really interesting. So I would recommend it, especially if you could get discounted tickets or even comp tickets. If you're a Total Rewards member, I think you could get comp tickets to the show. We paid for the tickets because it was a big group, 7 of us, but it was a good show, very enjoyable. Day two, we hit up the Human Nature show at the Venetian, which was also a really good show. It's a new show. It wasn't all Motown. They actually mixed it up. They called the show Jukebox. We enjoyed that. And we had dinner at Delmonico Steakhouse, which is always very good. And I really enjoyed my steak. Just one of the best steaks out there. And service is good. And I had a great wine. It was a Keenan Merlot. It was delicious. We kind of wrapped up the trip hitting Circus. I had my young son with me. So we took him to the arcade and to the amusement rides. And he really enjoyed that. And I got to... enjoy that property. I know it's pretty dingy and dirty, but it's a fun time, no doubt. Just going over there, as long as you don't mind screaming kids. And the casino's fun. You know, you can, some lower limits. So we enjoyed that. And we wrapped it up with a trip to the Bellagio. We had the buffet there, actually. I'm not usually a big buffet person, but my parents are older and they enjoy the buffet. And I have to say, their buffet was terrific and very well priced. I think it was about $24. Per person. So that was great. Very reasonably priced. And we really ate up. I mean, they had some carving stations. We had right at 11 a.m. We're East Coasters, so we were all starving by then. And it was just when they were opening up lunchtime. So everything came out hot and fresh. And we had a good time. Got to visit DuPar's one morning as well. The pancakes are as good as everyone says. I think they're pretty much saturated in butter, which is
butter.
Their secret sauce. And it was good. So we had a good time. Down there, hung around the Golden Gate for a little bit while we were there for breakfast. And all in all, it was a wonderful trip. We did presidential limo. You know, heard a lot of good things about the limo service on this show, and we were able to leverage them to pick us up and take us to the hotel and all that. We didn't use Uber too much. Didn't really need to. We didn't leave too much of a radius from the Venetian. My parents are older, so we just kind of stayed close to home. We did a gondola ride one day. That was really wonderful. I had never done that before, and I recommend that. It's only like $20, $24, something like that per person. And it's just an enjoyable little ride, something different to do. Did some good shopping as well, and hung out at the pool. So good trip. June's a good time to go as long as you don't mind warm weather. It is bright and sunny, and, you know, I was in a good mood the whole trip. So thanks a lot. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you for that report. We appreciate it, and we will hear from him again shortly with some words about Venetian. Sounds like he had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about. Actually, as he was discussing some of those things, I'm mentally drifting off to everywhere he was discussing.
Like, I could use some pancakes right now.
I could go for all of the things he mentioned just about, except for the Circus Casino. Like, yep, Million Dollar Quartet, I've heard, is really good. Mm-hmm. Human Nature's awesome.
Yep, I'd see them again.
Yep.
I'd like to see them again because they've changed their show since we saw them.
I absolutely. I would love to dine at Sinatra again at some point.
Mm-hmm. And
I start drooling at the thought of delicious meat. Anyway, thanks for that report. We will hear from you again soon.
God, I could use a good steak and a pancake right now.
At the same time,
mm-hmm.
A pancake wrapped steak?
No, a steak followed by a pancake.
Same meal?
Sure.
Steak and pancakes? That's
you
not really...
You gotta have dessert.
The pancake is the dessert?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's hear from Charles again.
Hey, Farfandi. Calling again. Making my way south from wherever the leaf I got off the bus because of the fire hazard. Managed to make it to Fashion Show Drive. I'm really, really regretting my choice to stay at Delano. It's a wonderful hotel. The rooms are beautiful. But it's way on the other side of the strip. And there still hasn't been one bus that's passed me. So, wish me luck. It's about 100 degrees. It's 1 in the morning. And I'm walking from Fashion Show to Delano. Talk to you later, I hope. Bye.
Oh.
I will not wish you luck. I will wish you the Uber app on your phone.
Yes.
This is not a problem. You can get there quickly and fairly cheap.
Mm.
Not as cheap as the bus necessarily, but they'll get you there efficiently. All right, next up.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Uda and
Hello.
John from Western Pennsylvania. Hey. Wanted to clarify that when we were in Vegas over Father's Day weekend, EDC happened to be occurring at the same time, but we did not participate in that event. Wanted to update you on new slot machines that we played. At least they were new to us. Michelle, for you, we both played Magic Mike. And can tell you that you can just save your money or buy yourself a really delicious drink. The machine was completely uninteresting. There were no bonuses to be had. And we actually played that machine twice in hopes that we would see a bonus and could report on it for you. But we had no such luck.
This is good to know.
Our experience with the Sherlock Holmes slot machine was very different. It was a very engaging slot machine, lots of bonuses, lots of surprises as you were playing. And during one of our times that we were playing, I ended up walking away with $95.
Nice.
So that was pretty exciting. Hope you guys are doing well. Thanks for the show and hope to see you at VIMF. Bye.
We're going to VIMF this year. So,
yeah.
Yes, we will probably see you there. Thanks for the report. We always like to hear about the newer slot machines, too. And I personally will probably just skip Magic Mike.
Will you now?
My world is full of enough Magic Mike based on you liking things on Facebook just so they show up on my timeline.
I've restrained myself.
That's because I hid
lately.
I haven't hid all of your activities. I've hid all of the Magic Mike-related mm-hmm. activities. I'm glad that's an option on Facebook. But you can, if you choose to, feel free to fire up the old Magic Mike slot machine and right after your appointment at Dry Bar, mm-hmm. give it a review for the old podcast next time we get to Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
What?
Oh, forget it. I had lost my audio stuff here. I have had drinks.
Have you now?
Yeah, it's really hitting me hard now.
I can tell.
I was good, and then during the podcast segment, I have a little bit more chance to sip on my beverage, and now it's hitting me again. So,
all right.
We have 3 more calls, though. We're going to make it through.
You can do it.
All right. Next up.
Hey, 500, Michael from New Jersey again. A couple of things I wanted to mention I forgot to say in my trip report. One thing I would recommend, if you're going to a real, true, like, kind of family vacation,
I would
recommend the Venetian, even though we had a really wonderful room and a nice time and nothing overly crazy to complain about. It is not the most warm, welcoming hotel. It's definitely got a very, you know, convention feel to it. I know they're all big and large, and but I don't think you get that at Bellagio or some of the other places like Winter Encore, even though they have conventions going on. So at Venetian, you definitely got the sense that it was all business and a little bit more of a factory. So if you're looking for a warm, kind of relaxing feel, you might actually be disappointed with the Venetian from that perspective. So I did want to share that because we did get that feeling checking in and kind of just our experience. But oh, we did have a good time nonetheless. And we were there very early on a Sunday morning. Our flight got in, you know, the one time everything worked. And we were actually in to Venetian by 10:30 in the morning. And that Sunday is a huge checkout day, I guess. Everybody's leaving for the weekend, and there's a lot of turnover to the conventions, which start on Mondays. And our room was not ready till about 5, till literally about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's a time that you may want to avoid getting there. It worked out okay, but we kind of lost a lot of Sunday just kind of waiting for the room to be ready. So just 2 things to keep in mind when you're traveling out there that we experienced. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you for that report. We appreciate it. All right, what do we got up next? Could you tell me?
John.
Thanks, John.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. John Anuta one more time.
Hey.
With another trip report. This time, bar news.
I like bars.
Oh, yes.
Like a lot of 500 folks,
no.
The Chandelier became one of our go-to places at Casa Falls and after Book and Stage closed, particularly since many of the bartenders from Book and Stage moved there. And right now, the Cosmopolitan Level 1 at Chandelier is closed. And we got a chance to talk to some of those bartenders who are now working primarily at Q Bar and got a little bit of an update. I mean, it's rumor, but got a little bit of an update what's happening at Level 1 of Chandelier. As had previously been reported by a lot of people, the stage area is being ripped out and the large bar on the sportsbook side is going to extend around with a peninsula that's going to come out of the general area where the stage had been. We saw a conceptual drawing of what it's going to look like, and it looks like there'll be about 12 additional seats added in that area, all of which are shown as having video poker as well. The sidebar over closer to the Henry is going to remain largely unchanged. The other thing that some of the bartenders said they had heard was that the area that's actually sort of dedicated to Chandelier may actually expand in the end and be larger than its current casino footprint. But that obviously remains to be seen. The other sort of rumor things we heard related to bars is that once Chandelier Level 1 reopens, is that Q Bar will shut down. And we heard different rumors about what would happen. We heard some that it was shutting down just for renovations. And then another report that the ultimate plan was to rip out Q Bar and put something else in that area, although it wasn't clear what that other thing was. The other rumor that we heard was that in addition to those projects, that the plan was to renovate a level 1.5 and level 2 of Chandelier Bar as well.
Don't
clearly,
mess
there's
it
a
up,
lot going
Cosmo.
On at Cosmopolitan. While we were there, the high limit room on the main casino floor was closed for a quick renovation. It looked like they were redoing carpets and tables, but nothing too major because they didn't even bother to put up plywood walls. They had just put up curtains, but that didn't reopen while we were there. Given that a lot of the listeners spend a good amount of time at Cosmopolitan at bars, we thought folks would be interested in that news. See you at VIMP. Bye.
It could be true, but it's probably bullshit.
Sorry, I just had to play
that. What made you fire that up?
Because I could. Thanks for the report, actually. It's really good to hear that and hear the information.
Chandelier, the first level especially, is really busy.
If they put video poker on the other two levels, I will never leave there.
The thing, I like the fact that they don't have video poker on 1.5, though.
I know, but if they had it there.
Oh, my God.
Like 16 hours later, we're shutting down, sir.
One more Verbena, please.
Yes. I want another Verbena, and I'm going to continue to put $20 bills into this machine. I saw he sent me a picture of the rendering of where adding stuff. And oddly enough, before I had heard this call or we had discussed it all, he said, hey, I just saw this sketch of what it might look like where they're adding seats where the stage used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it and I said, oh, it looks like Book and Stage. The way that it comes out is kind of like a point.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
It kind of has a similar vibe. And so I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if that's what it looks like or not. But that's if you had just shown me that picture, that's what I would have thought it was of.
Hmm.
So anyway, look forward to seeing what they come up with.
Q Bar, I've had a couple good drinks there, but there's something about it that makes me sleepy. Like there's just not a lot of energy there.
Yeah, it needs something different.
It's supposed to be the place where people line up for marquee, the name Q Bar, but
that was the initial plan, but it never really happened that way because of the way that they So I suspect it'll be like, completely revamped.
Yeah.
All right, final call. Let's check in with Charles one more time.
Hey, yeah. 500. It's Charles from Wisconsin again. Finally got back to my room after catching a deuce just south of TI, which no one had dropped one in, which is a positive.
That's good.
Got back to my suite at Delano. And I got to say, Delano may be the value option for anybody who's looking for a suite. The basic room is an actual two-room suite with a powder room and a full bath and a wet bar. And the price is really good. The value is good. And you have access to all the Mandalay Bay pools. There's a Delano Beach Club. And, you know, if it was mid-strip, it would be the most awesome place you would ever stay. And the fact that you have to take a tram from Tropicana is a negative. But it's really, really nice. It's almost an Aria Corner suite for the price of a standard room. So, you know, I will probably do it again just because it's a really good value. You know, it's not cheap, but it's a value, and that's a completely different thing. And if you think all my comments are boring,
I don't.
I would be perfectly happy if you didn't run them on the show.
Too late. I'm
perfectly willing with that. And I always enjoy the show. Thanks.
All right. Bye. Thank you, sir. We hope to see you again in October like we did last year.
Yes.
And appreciate your reports.
Did they have Total Washlets?
No, but I agree that that's the whole thing with Mandalay Bay in general.
Yeah.
That if that were located Center Strip, it would be the greatest place ever. I mean, it's just the location's a little shitty, but
yeah, nice they have place. Nice rooms, good restaurants.
Yeah. Glad you had a good time. Glad you made it back safely. And thanks for your report.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move along, let's talk about our listener purchase of the week. I scanned the list and this one jumped out at me and I was thinking it might be something else, but it was exactly what you would think it is. It's Mommy's Helper Outlet Plugs, which are actual covers for electrical outlets.
Yeah.
I thought they might be plugs for something else, but they're not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thought Mommy might have enough being Mommy and plug up something else so that she's not Mommy anymore. Or I don't know what else, but
what?
I don't know that exists. So you can find that on Amazon.com, whatever you're going to buy.
I'm really confused right now.
I'll explain it to you after the show. Whatever you're going to buy, if, when you're shopping on Amazon, click through the link at 500bymidnight.com and we get a lovely commission from Amazon, and it doesn't cost you anything additional, and it supports the podcast. There will be a link in the show notes to that particular item, and whatever you choose to buy, click through our link, and it makes me very happy. All right, PayPal donations. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. I'm going to have a hard time getting through these, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
Unless you do want to take them?
You start, and I'll pick you up if you fall.
Okay, so last week we had a PayPal donation from Bernard, and I just said his name. I didn't say anything else, and then I felt bad because I realized afterwards he had sent me an email, and so his note was not in the PayPal donation. It was in the email. So I just want to mention it was for a trip that's happening right now, a 4th of July trip with he and his wife. And this is their last fun trip before jumping on the training wagon for the Las Vegas Marathon in November.
Ooh, good luck.
So I know they're having a good time. They've been posting on our Facebook group. And anyway, I just wanted to thank them again. Also, one more quick thank you. A few weeks ago, I checked the old P.O. box. There's the address is on the About the Podcast page on the website, 500bymidnight.com. And much to my surprise, there was something there. Other than I constantly am getting solicitations from our cable company asking if we want to sign up, even though we already have their service.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had a lovely envelope from our friends Nick and Michelle. And they, once again, I adore them and hate them at the same time. Because they sent me they placed a bet for us on the Minnesota Vikings for the upcoming season. And we are not Vikings fans, but they did this last year. And as a result of their bets, because they know that we are motivated by money that we then
ended up inadvertently rooting for them,
And they changed it. So last year it was to win, I don't know, the division or something. I don't remember what it was.
It wasn't the division. It was
to make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they did not do that. This year,
no, they did not, and it was painful.
It wasn't that painful.
It was painful if you were a Vikings fan,
right? But
that kick, oh!
This year, damn you, Nick
Blair
and Michelle.
Walsh. Yeah.
This year, they placed it on the over, the number of wins.
Uh huh.
I think it was set at 9.5 or something. Anyway, genius on their behalf, trying to force me to root for the team, because now I am pulling for them to win a lot of games, as opposed to with the playoff thing, I could just be like, well, at a certain point, I'm like, nah, fuck it, they're probably not going to make it. I'm not going to root for them anymore. They're trying to force me to be a fan, and I hate them for it. So anyway, but thank you, we appreciate it anyway. That's a very, very creative way of fucking with me, and I have great respect for that in a way, even though I was like shaking my fist in the air. Damn you. Yeah, so thanks for that. All right, PayPal donations. Thank you to Mari for this is a donation in gratitude because someone on the Facebook group named Matthew sent her his Las Vegas Advisor coupon book that he wasn't going to use anymore.
Aww.
And one of the conditions I believe he placed on that was, I will send you the book, but you have to make a contribution to the podcast. Anyway, thank you for that. We appreciate it. Mari's been a longtime listener and fan of the show, so we appreciate that. PayPal donation from Brian, a new listener to the podcast. He said he's preparing for his second ever trip to Las Vegas. Hasn't been there since 2001.
Wow.
I know. That's awesome. And the podcast and the book, well, it's not awesome.
It's awesome that he's going.
Glad you're going back. Podcast and the book have been very helpful and entertaining resources.
Oh, good.
Great. Thank you so much, Brian.
Have a good time.
Welcome to the podcast. Rob said, keep on keeping on with all the Vegas-y goodness that life has to offer.
We'll do our best.
We will do so. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it as always. Derek and Allie staying at Cosmo, and it's Allie's first time in a wraparound terrace suite.
Ooh,
at Cosmo.
Nice.
Oh, you're going to love it. And hoping for some good karma, so maybe the $20 trick will get a fountain view. I hope that works out, and
I
hope you have a great trip.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the support. Chris and Rona from Scotland.
Oh.
Second Vegas trip after getting married 3 years ago.
Cool.
They're there right now for 14 nights.
Wow.
Wow, that's a long stretch. Hope you have a fantastic time and that the gambling gods shine down on you. Taylor, 6 nights starting, I believe he's there right now, actually. Actually, I know he's there because he posted, his girlfriend posted a picture of him lounging at the Golden Nugget Pool earlier today. He looked like he was having a wonderful time. Good. He's there for Garth Brooks Pools and Spas. Hope it's relaxing and awesome and you have a wonderful time as always. Finally, David from Louisiana, longtime listener of the show as well. Karma donation. He said, as my wife and I make a trip from Saturday to Wednesday to celebrate 20th year of marriage and 20th year going to Vegas together.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. That's fantastic. Now, I'm not sure about this next comment. He said, we're only 42 or so we're approaching the tipping point of going.
What does that mean?
I'm not exactly sure. Does that mean he's starting to like tire of it, or is that... I would say that it's time to step it up and go more often, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. But regardless, hope you have a wonderful trip, and we thank you, as always, for the support. And thank you to everybody for your PayPal donations
this week.
We do appreciate your longtime support of the podcast. It means a lot to us. As always, one other plug. I've got the book. I wrote it. It's called The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas. If you haven't already purchased it, I think you'll enjoy it. You can find all the details at LasVegasOutsidersBook.com. Thank you to everybody who has already purchased that book, as well as everyone who has left a review on Amazon or wherever you purchased it. Finally, before we go, 500bymidnight.com is our website. You can find all the links we've mentioned there. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions. We'll get to those one of these days, too. 500@gmail.com is the email address. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. Our voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night, at 702-866-9494. Do you have any final thoughts before we leave?
Nope.
All right. Happy Independence Day to all of our American listeners. To those of you who are not American listeners.
Happy belated Canada Day to all of our Canadian listeners.
That too. And to all of you who are from other nations, enjoy your particular nation's days whenever they happen. All right. Thank you guys and gals for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. And we will be back very soon with yet another podcast. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.